Blog Talk Radio.
Because that company won't be around.
And people don't believe that, but people are being laid off every day by the hundreds and sometimes the thousands. This is a new economy. I've experienced some things just even looking around right here. Now, boy, I wish I could do the whole concept of who moved my cheese. I am resurrecting that in some places because that, you know, he wrote that book about 12 years ago, but we're living it today. The cheese is being moved, and people better see it, and they need to recognize so they can embrace change. But right here in New Jersey, police officers laid off by the hundreds. Well, now guess what you see everywhere on the corners? Cameras. They don't need to be out there to stop and give you a ticket. The camera sees your car, sees who's in it, takes a picture, and they already got your information in the computer. They got your email and got your address. Boom, it's attached to your ticket. They mail it to you. It's all electronic. So anyway, that's just one tiny example in the millions of examples. So we got to get with the new economy. We need people like Mr. Versiel Walker. I got another person that we're trying to schedule. He's going to come to the show and tell you about the hundreds of ways that you can also get into the new economy. We've already into the new century. You got to get into the new economy so that you don't have to worry about going hungry. You don't have to worry about losing your home. You don't have to worry about all these other problems that people worry about. You know, God always provides a way for us to escape, and he has provided a way for us to escape the economy, the recession. Now, great things are happening, and I just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. If it's your first time tuning in to the show, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. If you are a repeat audience, then welcome back. Welcome back another day. Well, there are some great things that are going to be going down really, really, really soon, like the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference going down in just 3 days, y'all, just 3 days. We're excited. We'll be traveling down to Greensboro, North Carolina to do that. We have some, oh, my God, it's going to be a powerful day. Wow. It's just, it's going to be, it's, the first thing is powerful just to have watched it come together. You know, it's our first conference that's been taken on tour, so that will be down there. So we hope you can make it. We hope to see you there. And I know Mr. Walker is on the line, so if he's ready, all he needs to do is hit his number one key, and then I will know that he is ready to take over. So I'm not quite sure. It works a little different now, and everything is going, oh, awesome, wonderful, wonderful. So I will assume that he's ready. Hey, Mr. Walker, welcome.
Yes, good morning, good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. Did you hit your number one key?
Yes, actually twice, so I did.
Wow. Well, you know, yes. Well, because of technology and innovation, Blog Talk has a totally new switchboard.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's awesome, too. It's there. They've grown. They're showing their growth.
Okay. There you go. There you go. That's a good thing.
And people like to do that. They want to show their growth. Right?
Good.
Children. Don't children do that?
I think that's what they live for. I think that's one of the things that they live for besides driving at least me crazy, but yeah, they do. They do.
See, just imagine if we could be like little children showing our growth.
And I know I've even told people quite often to, you know, act in a childlike manner, especially when you're in pursuit of your dreams, because children don't understand lack and limitation. Children don't understand that dresser is too tall for them to climb up on. They don't understand that dream is too big for them to accomplish. So they keep dreaming. They keep, you know, they stay in front of it. So I say, act in a childlike manner, you know, in that respect only. You know, when you're trying to pursue your dreams, or you're trying to become someone that you're not, to do things that you have never done before, and just be relentless, and most children are.
Mm-hmm. That's a good, that's so good. That's great, 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 great coaching to people. Act as if you're still a little child. No limitations. No lack. Keep it coming. Persist. Wow. That is awesome. And you know, and children, they want to develop. Somehow we get grown, somehow we get adults and we think we have to stop. You know, but I have a woman, I know, I have a lady that actually goes to my church. This woman is like 97. And she, if I'm not mistaken, I believe she's still driving.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
she works, she still works at the church. She works at the church. And she hops around, I mean, actually jumps, you know. I think she does it just to show people that she can do it.
Right, there you go. But she's still full of the spirit, you know. Just,
wow,
yeah.
She's amazing to me.
Yeah,
I'm
and
like,
you have to be. You have to be. The hands on the clock are just there to, I guess, act as a guide or a perimeter, but sometimes we get entrenched or caught in between the numbers. And that's the same thing with birthdays, and that's the same thing with life. You know, we feel that at 50 we're supposed to act and respond a certain way, so we start even having ailments because everybody else I know at 50, they had, you know, knee problems or backaches or had the, you know, heebie-jeebies, but we don't have to be there. You know, I tell people, you know what, if I die tomorrow, I would die, you know, prematurely, but I would die full, but probably wouldn't rest. So I'll probably kick the casket open and jump back out, so don't be in the front row because I got a lot more life in me. I got a lot more life in me.
Wow. Yeah. So, well, you know, what we do on Wednesdays, midweek motivation, inspiration, hump day. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Mr. Versi L. Walker, and we are ready to listen and hear what you have to share with us today.
Oh, wow. Is it Wednesday already? Yeah. I was just calling in to say hello. Today's Wednesday?
Wait a minute, let me double check.
Okay.
The days are going, let me see. They're going fast, but yet we want them to slow down because I want to savor the moment. I want to relish. Yes, I don't want to rush anything. It's getting too good anyway. It's getting good. We want to enjoy the summer. Oh, yeah, we're officially, you know, one day into the summer.
You know what? I forget about that, but you're right. You're right. Okay. All right. It's a wonderful thing.
And also, happy belated Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much.
I didn't get to say it officially, but I said it on Facebook. So another good thing about Facebook, you get to do all your birthday wishes and things of that nature. So, okay, well, take it away.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Coach. And thank you for the belated Happy Father's Day, and I had a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. And I hope that all the listeners who have fathers, who are fathers, also had a great time and had time to spend with family and maybe even to reflect, especially as fathers. There were goals that we perhaps set as a child on the things that we would do once we became an adult and we became a dad. And I hope that, you know, each and every one of you have had the opportunity to fulfill those dreams. My dream is like a bucket, and every time I think one aspect of fatherhood has been filled or that I'm nearing that fullness, there's something else that will come about that would challenge me again, and not only in my manhood as a dad, but as a dad, you know, within myself and just reflecting on all the wonderful things I want to share and convey. The biggest thing that I've always prayed for is to have enough time to give all this wealth of information to my children and watch those seeds come to fruition. So thank you for saying that. My Father's Day was par excellent and can't wait until next year to do it all over again. I want to go back to saying good morning to everybody. I hope that everyone has had a wonderful week so far. The weather is seeming to be great all across this vast land of ours. I hope that everyone has a safe and sound trip to their destination today and that they made it to live and see one more day and be able to hear our voice as we hopefully are encouraging you to be your best and at your greatest. As always, I'm excited and glad to be here and to be able to share with each and every one of you my knowledge and experience, and hoping again that that takes you to the next level and show you that there's still a lot of you inside of you that needs to be out here for the whole world to view. So again, thank you. Many thanks to you, the listeners, for tuning in each and every day of the Coach Lalisa Show, as well as on this Wednesday midweek inspiration. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to Coach Lalisa as well. And for you, Coach, thank you for allowing me to be here to share this platform, to deliver my message of positiveness and upliftingness. And it came to view really yesterday where I had the opportunity to speak to a former schoolmate from probably 20 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, almost 20 years ago, if not. And in speaking to her, we're talking and I'm sharing and I'm conveying. But afterward, there was a series of email or posts where we were saying it was nice to talk to one another. We haven't seen each other in eons. And she said, "You're always doing public speaking, huh? You're doing a lot of public speaking." And so I responded back, "No, not actually, but from your mouth to God's ears." And then she replied that, "Well, maybe you were just speaking it to me then." And so I'm like, "I don't follow." So when she emailed back, she said, "You know, you were speaking so positive to me. I was saying that you're always this way," because she said, "I'm not." She said, "I've made it a commitment this year to, you know, surround myself around positive thinking, like-minded people, but I hadn't." And listening to you, you were so upbeat, so happy, so optimistic. And it didn't dawn on me that that is who I am continuously, even in the midst of a storm, even when things aren't as great as I would like them to be. I try to find the slither, that slice of the silver lining. And I'm not oblivious to life. I'm not obtuse. I don't walk around thinking that harm can't come my way, that misfortune shouldn't, you know, lie upon my shoulder. But I don't live in that moment. I don't dwell in it. I don't swim in that sea of negativity. And so it was nice to hear her say this. You know, she said, "You articulate so well. You do this, you do that." And it is so refreshing. It's so nice to hear these words coming from a man. So it did my heart proud, Coach. It did myself proud that I walk the walk, and I live not only my brand, but my thoughts and my belief. And that's probably why continuously, even the little drips that I receive, I'm thankful for. I'm hopeful. I'm prayerful. I'm optimistic and believing that when it's painful and it's bad, this too shall pass. And that when I do receive my blessings in abundance, I open my arm wide because I want my blessing to be just at large. So I thank her, and again, I thank you. I want to just give a few updates. I want to say to you, Coach, happy anniversary. Yep, this is our one-year anniversary for the Wednesday morning midweek inspiration show. It was on last year, just 1 year ago, this week, that you first asked me in for an interview to interview me regarding my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here. And you then, you know, invited me back to do this weekly segment. I thank you. I thank you. 1 year later, still been able to provide new topics. We're touching and reaching new people, either through your empowerment, either through my self-employment presentations and speeches, through the book signings, through your things that you're doing with the youth, the women, and everything that is being done. 1 year later, it has been a joyous ride for me, to say the least. It has fulfilled one of my journeys towards my vast amount of success that I want to be able to do. One of the prayers that I asked God, you know, a couple of years ago, to be able to do as an entrepreneur, to be able to reach and touch and talk to people in such a way that it made an impact on their life, so that I made an indelible mark on their life when I walked away. And that mark, I mean positively. And this is one of the things, one of the mediums, one of the outlets that has allowed me to do this. and it really came to pass when at one of your events, I forget the young lady name I met, she's a school teacher, she wrote a book, and the book says, Say What God Says. And after seeing her at the event and looking at her display and her passion, her husband was there, and I'm laughing, I'm talking, I'm teasing with him. And I called her 2 days later to invite her to an event because I was so impressed with what she did and what she's trying to do as a former teacher and still trying to instill in children the benefits of, you know, prayer and telling people to say what God said, you know, and most children do. They just speak their mind. But what was so impactful about what we're doing and what I'm trying to accomplish is when I talked to her, she said, Versi? She said, oh, thank you so much. I can't go, but, you know, keep me in mind. And she said, by the way, I was at church yesterday and I showed somebody your book. And I said, you need to get this guy's book and hear him speak. She said, he's good. And the lady looked, oh, Versi, yeah, I know him. And so I'm like, well, what church do you go to? She said, I go to a church in Philadelphia. I said, my goodness. Now, here I am, you know, growing up in Chicago, lived in Maryland for a stint, now here in New York. But because of your venues, because of being able to partner with you, I now have people in Jersey, Delaware, Virginia, you know, Philadelphia, who know my name, who have seen my book or my picture or heard me speak or have had an experience through me or with me that was positive for her to be able to just look and identify who this lady was talking to and for her to have enough impact in a short period of time and be impressed about something I said or did to even want to share me with someone else. So, again, happy anniversary, Coach. Happy anniversary. Now,
God bless you. Thank you. You did it. You did it because you could have given up anywhere along the way, but you hung in there.
There you go. Truly determined. Truly determined. Not bad. Now, I also I just want to say that I've actually finally did my final edit with my editor for my new book. We had been entrenched for, God, for the last month, each week, maybe twice a week, we would spend an hour combing through each section, fully making sure that I understood what she was trying to accomplish and that she understood what I wanted to achieve in the development of this book. And it has been a labor of love, and I have learned so much. And she went far beyond what my expectations of her was as an editor. She taught, she showed, she conveyed. She became so invested in my project. And this is what most entrepreneurs long for. They look for someone to have such an invested interest in what you're doing to make sure that whatever you're doing shines. And this young lady did just that. I'm so impressed with her, and I look to, you know, generate other opportunities whereby I can pull her in on it. And her work is impeccable. Her thoroughness is just outstanding. So we have done the final edit. However, I will still, you know, go through it one more time just for a finite comb through to make sure that everything's in place. And soon we'll have at least the e-book available, hopefully by mid to end of August, and then look to bring out the hard copy thereafter. So it's getting ready for the page layout designer and the cover artist. Additionally, I have just completed my 6-day audio training series. It is going to be a training series where there's 20 minutes each day that can help to increase your income or your sales potential by 20%. So be on the lookout for that. I'm trying to stay busy. I hate that I can't be in the Carolinas with you this weekend. There were some things that came up with the school board. There's 2 graduations. We've had some emergency board meetings. So there have been some exciting things going on that prohibit me from being there with you, but you know in spirit I am there with you. And now, for anyone who's wishing to learn more about me or to secure an autographed copy of my current book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, visit my website at versiwalker.com, and that's www.versiwalker.com at V-E-R-S-I-E walker.com. Now, with that being said, I want to go ahead and move on to today's topic. And that topic is overcoming phobias, especially phone phobias. First, I want to start off actually with the definition of phone phobia, which would probably cover somewhat of a definition of what phobias are. And it states this as a noun, and it states that it is an irrational, excessive, persistent fear of cold calling, calling on unknown prospective customers, a fear of being rejected or humiliated over the telephone. Can be considered as a reluctancy to cold calling. This term is widely used in the insurance industry and telemarketing industries. And this is where I picked up the terminology phone phobia when I was in telemarketing years ago and then moved to debt collection and insurance salesman as well. The term is phone phobia. I mentioned in my new training series that phone phobia is very real. It's a real phobia. They've even written books about it. I went online and discovered that there's a book. If you buy it used, it's like $9. If you buy it new, the highest price for it was $96. I'm like, wow, there is something to this. There is really something to this term and to this sensation that people feel when it comes to picking up the telephone and making a business call that they hope to recruit or solicit someone to purchase their wares. And many organizations, I just come to realize, spend numerous hours and money trying to address this very issue. It is a sincere and genuine fear that comes about when having to pick up the phone and call on a potential customer, also, again, known as cold calling. And the word cold is there because it's not a warm lead. It's not someone who has been introduced to you who you may or may not know needs or have a genuine need for your services. So you're blindly or coldly calling to see if potentially this customer or this prospect will soon become your customer. The title of my new book is called Powerful Sales Conversions from Suspects to Prospects. Because as I was trained as an insurance agent, that, you know, not everyone who walks past the store is a customer. They may not even be a prospect, and if you approach them in such a way, assuming that they're a prospect or a customer, you lose immediately because you'll spend a lot of energy and time trying to convince or convey, and they may not even have an interest. So the concept from suspects to prospects is that if they're a cold lead, they are a suspect. You suspect that they may purchase. You suspect that they may want to buy. You suspect that they may be interested. Not until you've done some fact-finding and asked a few questions and discovered that this person is interested or would like to participate, do they then move from suspect to prospect. And ultimately what we want to do as entrepreneurs, business owners, and salespeople, we want to move that person who is a prospect over to the level or the realm or the category of being a customer. And then from there, we want to increase their purchases. So if they buy a shirt from us, we want them to buy a tie. If they buy a refrigerator from us, we want them to buy a washer and dryer. We want to have depth of relationship as well as breadth of relationship. So, again, cold calling is a fear of people. So I want to go back for a second. Just go back to the top of the statement is that it is a sincere and genuine fear that comes about when having to pick up the phone and calling on potential customers, also known as cold calling. It may seem odd, especially if you were born in the last 40 years, where we now seem to be, you know, or seem to use and have become so dependent on phones for everything, from receiving messages to conference call, from placing orders and faxing. We do pretty much everything utilizing the telephone. with the advent of the smartphones, we are now more attached to our phones more than ever before. The functionalities and the power of this phone that I'm talking to you right now is mind-boggling. It is mind-boggling. I type in directions to Coach LaLisa's house. It will give me directions and talk to me at the same time. This thing is amazing, and we're so dependent on it. But the fear of having to make sales calls using the phone has the great majority of salespeople and business owners up in arms, much like the fear of public speaking, where statistics indicate that over 95% of the population, I repeat, over 95% of the population would rather die, literally, than to speak in public. For those people who are afflicted with this disorder, the thought of having to pick up the phone has them running for cover. I'm not sure where this fear has come from, but much like any other fear, it must be eradicated if you are ever to move forward and to succeed. Overcoming this disorder, people, must be handled delicately in order to not give life to it. It's like anything else. When you talk about it, you breathe life into it. We're so accustomed to talking about what we don't want in life, and we wind up getting it because we didn't diffuse it by talking about all the things we want in life, all the things we want to give. We were too busy talking about our fears, about our concerns, and we gave life to them. So it must be handled in such a way that you do not give life to it. I think one of the biggest problems when it comes to this disorder is that it goes undetected and unnoticed due to the very nature of this disorder. Think of it. We all talk on the phone on a daily basis. In fact, there are industries that their business is in the business of communicating, and they could not do business if it were not for the telephone. Given the fact that we use telephones for virtually every aspect of our daily lives, makes it inconceivable that someone could possibly have a fear of picking up the phone and dialing out. Talking about this actually brings to mind my first telemarketing job, whereby on this job, for more than an hour, once they released me to the floor and said, "Here's your phone, here's your script, now sit down." For an entire hour, I recall fiddling around with everything on my desk, moving the stapler, moving my talk off, moving. I mean, I even sharpened my pencil 2 to 3 times. Had to make sure I had a good point, just in case somebody said something on that phone that I need to jot down, and it was hopefully the word yes. But I did everything to avoid calling that first prospect. Everything. In an effort to, you know, to get up the courage, to get up enough nerve to place that first call. Still today, I find myself having a little anxiety when placing that first call, let's say to a distributor or to a prospective client when trying to secure business. Not at all like I did, you know, for that first call, you know, some 20 years ago as a telemarketer, but I still, you know, still a butterfly. There's still a sense of anxiety. It's, you know, what would I say? You know, who's going to answer the phone? But fortunately for me, for those who suffer from this disorder, we can help you. What people do not know about phobias is that they are one of the most treatable, curable, and reversible disorders out there, according to Dr. Phil. And it can be eliminated by taking specific and measured steps to overcome it. See, together we can beat this thing. And if you've heard me speak here on the Midweek Inspiration Show, then you already know that I do not subscribe to fear. See, I've seen firsthand how fear of any kind has crippled, prohibited, and prevented someone from being their optimal best. I've seen, because of fear, that people have had generational, financial, economic, social problems because of fear. because of superstition. These things that have become learned behavior and have been acceptable within our society. I've talked about this several times, about the various fears that we have. And I mentioned before that there are only three fears that we're born with: the fear of falling, the fear of loud noise, and the fear of abandonment. Everything else, and I do mean everything else, is learned behavior. And you can unlearn it as well. But it becomes so acceptable. And as I mentioned before, if there was any other disease that has done what fear has done, fear has drove people out of their minds, fear has locked people in their homes where they won't even go out into their own community, into their own world. Fear of being ridiculed has prevented people from standing up and being the great individuals that they can be, from inventing the next wonderful idea that can change this world. As I mentioned before, if there was any other disease as cancerous as fear, there will be rallies, there will be marathons, there will be, you know, telethons trying to come up with money to try to prevent the growth, the spread of this particular cancer. But again, with fear and any phobia, it works. It works from a marketing angle. If the media wants to, you know, move you in one direction or other, they can use fear and propaganda. If your politician wants to control your purse strings, can use fear and propaganda. If you don't want your child to go somewhere just because you don't want them to, you can use fear. So, people, I say again, I do not subscribe to this, and I hope that you won't either or any longer. Do not allow fear to cripple and inhibit you from being who you want to be. You just said something, Coach, when you said, you know what, congratulations, too, because you stuck through it. You stuck to it. I could have given up on my dream a long time. I could have given up on my dream, on my journey, when I saw something easier and more comfortable and more convenient, but that wasn't convenient and comfortable for me. I want to challenge myself each and every day, and that's why when you said Happy Father's Day, I lit up, because I know this has been the one job I signed up for. I arrive early and I stay late. It is the one job that I may not see a bonus. I may not get a commission, but I get elated knowing that my future generation may have an opportunity to go out there and make an impact, make an imprint on this world. And if I never get a master's in my life, knowing that my child may or have the opportunity to do so, I'm happy. If I never see another day on this earth, I know that the effort that I put in thus far should last a lifetime. So I am fortunate to be a dad. I say again, I am fortunate. I made a conscious decision on when and where and how I was going to have my children. I've done it in that manner. But to have what I have, these healthy children who love me, who see me. See, I didn't see my dad. I didn't know the man. I didn't experience it. I don't know some of my behavior, some of my ideology, some of my thought patterns. I'm sure it comes from his DNA, comes from his stock, but I don't know that because I don't know him. So I'm fortunate to be here. And so I tell you people, this involves fear. Don't allow it around you. Don't talk about it. Don't use the word I'm afraid. I'm fearful. Find another word. I know in my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, I give you a panel of words to use in replace of any negative word that you use or that you allow around you. But back to what we were talking about. Again, the fear of public speaking, the fear of picking up the phone, just this phobia. Speaking of this, actually, calls to mind, reminds me of the movie Home Alone. That old movie with Macaulay Culkin, who was accidentally left at home for the holiday. Besides being chased by two dim-witted criminals, these guys couldn't find their way to a bank with the doors wide open. I mean, they just were, again, numbskulls to say the least. But these guys were chasing him. They were trying to infiltrate and penetrate his home to rob it. he didn't seem to be afraid of these guys. He was preparing for that should it happen. But one thing that he was afraid of was an old furnace that was in the basement. This furnace had plagued him for years. And how he overcame his fear was to actually force himself to face that furnace head on and told himself there was nothing to fear. This guy, I believe, was 8 years old. He went and addressed the issue. He addressed the fear. He laid his concerns to rest. He went to the basement and washed clothes, and when he looked at the furnace and the furnace growled and flared up, he said, "Shut up. I'm not afraid of you." And it did just that. It's kind of like the power of saying the word Jesus or praying in volume. And immediately, I mean, they've been on, people have been on airplanes, and the turbulence has been so bad that they thought the plane was going to go down. And people with Jesus, "Lord, please, you know, make this plane be still." And the plane ceased to vibrate. It ceased to shiver and shake. It's the power of when you say that, you can make, again, you can calm the roughest sea. You can eradicate problems and diseases through the power of the tongue. And so he did that with that fear. Now, that was a very, very powerful statement that he made to himself to get beyond that. And important, and it was also an important part of the movie, which went right over the heads of most people who watched the movie, because the comical edge, because of the other things that he was doing. But they didn't realize that this kid had discovered the powers of overcoming his fear, and he spoke it to existence. He made sure that he no longer had that issue. That was one obstacle that wasn't going to hinder him for the rest of his life, and this was an 8-year-old kid. Although a movie, but in my opinion, impactful. It was important enough that I remembered it. And again, most people have seen that movie and only remember, again, the clowns that were acting a fool trying to break into his home. Now, in my opinion, one of the best ways to overcome this type of phobia would be much like the movie, much like conquering any other seemingly obstacle in your life, and that is simply to face it head on. I believe that when it comes to phone phobia especially, is that, you know, practicing and role-playing beforehand can help lessen the tension or stress of making a call. I suggest researching the call beforehand, meaning for you to have all of your ducks in a row, for all of your talking points and research material close at hand. Think about what the objections may be to your advancement. So if the person is thinking, you know, "Well, I don't want what you have because it costs too much," that's an objection that you have to overcome. Remember, people will pay a premium for whatever they want. People will even buy something that has a consequence and a premium. You may not be understand what I'm saying. Think about the tobacco companies. Their product has a consequence. It may cause cancer. It may cause, you know, premature birth of pregnant women. It has a whole list of consequences, but people still choose to smoke. A pack of cigarettes today costs what I think a carton of cigarettes cost just 10 years ago. That's a premium, and people still would buy. But that is one of the hardest objections to overcome, because you never know what's in a person's purse. You can't force them to buy something they may not want or they can't afford. But knowing the objections or potential objections in advance or beforehand could only enhance what you're doing. It enables you to have the confidence to move forward, saying that, "Aha, I know you're thinking this. I got the answer for that. Oh, I know you may be saying that, but I got the answer for this." It helps. By role-playing prior to making the call will help desensitize the actual phobia and perhaps prevent the dreaded outcome, which may have brought on this actual fear in the first place. and that is the fear of being embarrassed or rejected. The fear of being embarrassed, the fear of being ridiculed, being dejected or rejected, not part of, not, you know, included with, has again destroyed so many lives. So many lives, old and young. Not, you know, being able to be part of the cheerleader, not being able to be part of an elite club, has left so many people feeling dejected, and that they have not overcome it. That may have happened when they were 10 years old and now they're 40. And for some reason, whenever they get rejected or feel that they may get rejected, this phobia comes up. And so they don't even exert themselves. They don't even sign up. They don't even go to because of that fear. And we can't let that continuously happen to you, to your youth, because we spread to others around us what we feel. What we feel. I remember my mom one time was fearful of me flying on an airplane. I had to tell her there's more accidents in cars and people just walking down the street than there ever been in an airplane. I remember one time when I was going to make a commission check in excess of $15,000. She said, I'm scared of that. That's too much money. And so we permeate that. We spread that amongst people that we know and love. I mean, we don't do it intentionally for the most part, but once we start doing that, once we start placing that stamp and those little inklings of fear and make it acceptable within our lives, we kill ourselves and those around us one piece at a time. When we should be relentless, when the sky should be the limit, and we should open up doors and open our minds that we can be more than this thing, fear, which is hindering us. It has been said, when we talk about role-playing, we talk about practicing, it's been said that practice makes perfect. This is not totally accurate, people. It is the practice of practicing perfectly that will then make your practice perfect. See, you can be practicing a flawed technique and you won't get any better. You can be practicing flawed attempts to overcome fear and you'll still be fearful or more fearful. You can't be around the same people who you got drunk with and thinking that now that you're sober, they'll understand. It doesn't happen. And they may have empathy for you, but they're going to drink. They're sorry that maybe you can't handle it, but they're going to drink. It's the same thing with negativity. It's the same thing with fear mongers. You can't be around them and help to uplift their consciousness. You have to love them where they're at and move on and work on your own. And you have to continuously be around people who see life in that manner, who understand that it is a prohibitive virus, disease, cancer that is wreaking havoc. And if you are in business today and you don't have two things, forget about your business cards because nobody's asking for business cards anymore. If you don't have a web presence and if you don't have a capable, functional phone system where you can contact and reach out to the world. See, today it doesn't matter if you're 400 pounds. If you have IT experience, you can be in your living room eating your donuts and you can be working on a host of people at the same time through GoToMeeting.com or some other technology where you never leave your house. But again, it's the use of the phone. If you are marketing or marketing foreign, and again, you can't pick up the phone and articulate your desires and your dreams, Coach, you and I both know, I never saw my page layout artist. I never saw my printer. Because of the phone, I have a printer in the Carolinas. I have my page layout design in Idaho, and I may this year, you know, use somebody in China to print my books. I never see these people, but it's because of the telephone, that capable item that we can now pick up and don't even have a cord connected to it but can connect to the world, it enables me to do business as never before. I can be a global presence. I can be an international author in a matter of moments because of the telephone, because of the functionalities. And if you're in business and you can't get beyond that, that hindrance, that slight discomfort, you being able to write the best sales copy, to mail flyers, to email, to articulate in that manner, great. But people want to hear your voice. I can't see you. So let's build a phone relationship. Let's talk about the issues. Let's go over the concerns. Tell me your desire. Tell me why I should buy from you. If you can't do that, if you can't bring up a muscle of the energy to do that, one, I suggest you contact me or coach for a coaching session or a mentoring session. But I ask that you pray for deliverance from this, because if not, it will prevent you in all aspects of your life where you have fear and phobia and procrastination in one aspect, it transfers over or transcends to the other. Who you are, no matter where you are, is who you are. So whatever you do in one aspect of your life, it seeps over for some reason to the other aspect. And this phobia, whether it's phone phobia, fear of cold water, fear of bright lights, whatever the fear is, whatever the phobia is, I ask that you pray to eradicate, that you move towards the power vessel within you to make that diminish. And if you can't completely, dissolve it, to minimize it so that it doesn't stifle or stunt you. That's important, that it doesn't stifle or stunt you. It's funny how the old demons of the past come to rear their heads in the present. What you feared as a child, if you didn't resolve it, it will come back. If you remember the Josephine Baker story portrayed by Lynn Whitfield, I think in the Josephine Baker story, when she was a child, when the Nazis came to grab children and kill them, she was hidden in the attic in the floorboard. Some 30 years later, after fame and fortune and riches, she became a pauper, became destitute, but she took in children, took in a whole heap of children to protect them. And when she could no longer do so, she refused help from the police and from the city, and to the point where they had to come and take the kids from her. But when they did, when they beat down the doors, she ran up to her attic and with her bare hands clawed at the floor, trying to pull up the floorboards to hide in. So something that happened, a fear that happened, a situation that occurred in her life that hadn't been resolved, showed itself some 30, 40 years later when a similar incident took place. So you can run and hide people, but you can't hide from yourself and you can't hide from the truth. And truth be told, fear and phobia should not be in your life. It should not exist in this world, but it definitely shouldn't exist in your world. And with that being said, Coach, I'm actually going to turn it over to you. But I do ask that each and every one of you go out and be relentless. Take this day, take this week, take this year, and the bull by the horn, and pull out what you know you deserve. Pull out and carve out the lifestyle that you deserve, the lifestyle that your family should deserve. And if it doesn't have to deal with positiveness and having a great life and a great journey, don't allow it in your life. Wish it away. Pray for it out of your existence. Because you should be harmonious. You should be happy every step of the way. You may not be totally content. You may not have everything you want, but if you can find that slither, that one piece, that one string of silver lining, that's enough. That's enough for you to hold on to. There's a book that I read years ago, and it's kind of like, how much land does a man need? We all want everything. We want everything. We want the trees on our property. We want the biggest house, the biggest cars. But how much does a man really need in his life? And the ending of the story, the theme of the story was all he needs is 6x6. He needs 6 feet wide or 6 feet long and 6 feet deep, because ultimately when you die, that's where they're going to put you. Everything else was in material. All the rushing, the cussing, and being upset and having anxiety because you couldn't keep up with the Joneses, you probably have exactly what you need right there in front of you. But fear shouldn't be one of them. Coach, with that, I ask that you take it away.
Wow, that is... that is so good, and that is so, so true. Wow. Again, congratulations on your one-year anniversary of being with this show. Thank you for that powerful message today, people. You have now, I mean, yes, you might have been on the right path already, but you know what? I heard Oprah Winfrey say something, and I've heard some other inspirational people say it too, but it's just so important right now is that you have to constantly become more of who you already are. I mean, become better and better. There's no resting place down here. In other words, there's no retirement, I should say. Yes, you can rest, but you might retire from General Motors or, you know, Verizon. You may retire from your government job. You might even retire from the military, the police force, but you cannot retire from self-improvement.
Nah.
You can. Nah. You know, there's always more to do. There's always more to see, more to be, more to grasp. And you, Mr. Walker, have captured that message so well today, made it so clear. And, you know, it's just going to get, I just, you know, love watching the things that people are doing.
Right.
Especially for over the past year, individuals that, you know, had tuned into the show, whether you tuned in one time or whether you've been a repeat audience, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it takes one time for people to, you know, run off in a direction and now they're too busy to tune in. Or there were people who were unemployed and they were listening every morning at 7 and then they got jobs. There were others who their businesses were slow and they were able to tune in. And guess what happened? Their business picked up and they can't. Then, yes, and then we have others who were able to tune in, but now they have their own radio shows, and now they are in the process of getting up and preparing. I'm telling you, it is an awesome, awesome, awesome thing to watch. So that's why we're here every morning. I know that's why you're here each and every week, and I know you tune in on other days. You are not just a Wednesday call-in show host.
Right, right.
You tune in on a regular basis. I know. I see you sometimes in the chat room, and you'll call in on the switchboard, and so we just
so
appreciate it.
You probably saw me yesterday. I called in on the 845 number. I'm from.
Oh, okay.
My phone was being charged, so I called in from the 845 area code yesterday.
Okay.
So, yeah, make it do what it did.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's just, I mean, we still have big things to do. Oh, my God. So, yes, we have wonderful things going on. You know, I'll be traveling to North Carolina Friday morning.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
Oh, my God. You know, it's, hey, listen, well, I'm not going to get to see much of the Carolinas other than in the car driving down and back. We will be inside the hotel all day at the conference, but it is definitely a movement where we are releasing our power and doing what, like you said, you know, there's so many things that you can do. You have the gifts right inside of you, and this is just another example. So the show, we just have a few minutes left. Just want to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank you for spending time with us this hour, this morning, for those of you who will listen to the archive. You know, get in touch with Mr. Versi Walker. You can get him on the internet. Like you said, he has the web presence. He's there. If you need the marketing and success coaching, make sure you definitely call him. Sales, you want to increase your business. I know, definitely Hope, the lady in Cincinnati with the dry cleaners, you know, all the listening to the shows, you know, she was pumped up and she went in a slightly different direction. So now at her cleaners, if you prepay, she has a system now where any piece, $2.88, as she's located, since she's located in Cincinnati, Ohio, at 8876 Coleraine Avenue, if you're in that area. So she's excited. She's got her signs out. She was given some sales advice on the store. She put some signs outside and on the highway, and it's paying off. And actually, she's even going out doing some marketing stuff, Mr. Walker. So she's got herself in a position where she's got some help. And now on Saturdays, last Saturday, she called me up. She was like, what do I say? I'm walking in cold in these beauty salons, barbershops and different places, and just telling them about the business. She couldn't get a hold of me. She called another sister. But thank God for listening to the show. She was able to put some words together, and, of course, it flowed once she went in. So it pays to listen to the Coach Lalisa show in the morning, business owners. Yes, so anyway, that's all we have time for. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning, and we'll do it all over again. Have a great and powerful day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.